Spring is done, and the pecking order is starting to take shape. Some guys made real moves, others missed their window. Let's break down who's up, who's down, and what it means for Wisconsin heading into the fall. I'm Rajiv, he's Justin. Here we go.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, your destination for all things Wisconsin Badgers. Authentic takes.
Oh my God.
Game analysis.
Touchdown Badgers! Ring one up!
And discussion from the fan perspective. Woohoo! Thanks for joining us and on Wisconsin.
Welcome to the Bucky Report. We are your hosts, Rajiv and Justin, back together on a Saturday evening to talk about all things Wisconsin Badgers. On today's show, we take a full position by position look at this Wisconsin team coming out of spring practice. We'll build out our projected two deep as it stands today and pair it with a stock report for every group, who's trending up, who's trending down, and where things feel solid or still unsettled. By the end of this, you'll have a clear picture of exactly where this roster stands heading into summer. You can find our show on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Excuse me. If you like what we're doing, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. Thanks so much for your support of the show. Couple quick housekeeping items to start. I've been telling you that I'll get Rajiv's Corner back in the middle of the week, and I haven't done it yet. But this week I did a rebrand of it, and it's coming to YouTube officially on the 6th. So Wednesday, May 6th, this will be coming to YouTube. I've done this. If you're an audio listener, you're already used to this show. On the podcast version, it's about 20 to 25 minutes every week, just talking about things sometimes related to Wisconsin, sometimes not. This one, I'm going to talk about the NBA. I'm going to talk about the NCAA tournament and Fickell's 2027 class potentially being the best. So that's going to be premiering on YouTube this week for the first time. It's going to still be on the audio platforms. If you're an audio listener, it's still going to be there. This will be every week moving forward. As we get into the summer months, the content's going to start increasing. Obviously, as football's hitting. So every June, as you know, we're going to start with OVs. We're going to talk about that. Then we're going to do our Know Your Foe series, key games from the upcoming season. We're going to talk about those, interview other podcast hosts, things like that. Getting kind of an inside view of some of our opponents. The Rajiv's Corner is going to stay there, and I know Justin might throw in some recruiting stuff in there as well. So the content will only go up from here, but do hit that like button, subscribe. That's very, very helpful to the show. Justin, how you doing, man? Thanks for doing this on a Saturday. I've had some stuff planned tomorrow night, so I appreciate that. How you doing?
Hey, it's good for me. That means I'm not going to be exhausted going into Monday. So
There you go. I like it. I'm late. Sorry to hear about your Wrexham boys. I apologize.
It happens. I figured that they would probably need another season. It's one of those things where you're kind of bummed that they don't make the playoffs, but I also was looking at it like, what are the odds of they actually going up? And they weren't great. Like, they've struggled with a couple of the teams that they would have gone to the playoffs with. So it happens.
Well, at least your team's not fighting relegation, which is what my team is. So that's fun, but we don't like to talk about that. Don't like to talk about that at all. Anyway, let's talk about good stuff. Let's talk Badger football. Spring football is officially done. We did a kind of like a superlative show last week with Nick, which was fantastic. And now we're going to be talking a lot about every position. We're going to break down position by position, go through, talk about the room. Justin and I are going to give you our two deep, projected two deep as it sits now, so you can get a full picture of what this team looks like. And stock up or stock down. So coming into the spring, coming out of the spring, are you higher or are you lower on this group? Or are you at a flat hold on the stock report? Also, if you have any questions, throw them in there. We will address those near the end of the show or potentially along the route. Okay, let's go, Justin. Let's start with the number one position, of course. As always, we're talking quarterback. I'll start here. Colton Joseph is the starter. A lot of funny talk. Ooh, Ryan Hopkins. Ryan Hopkins looked really good in camp. I still think Deuce Adams is number two. I think Ryan Hopkins did himself a lot of favors. And if Joseph goes down, maybe there'll be a discussion about who plays next. But I think when the depth chart comes out in the fall, for fall camp, it's going to be Deuce Adams is going to be listed at number two. That's my guess. Ryan Hopkins, number three. I think he definitely jumped Carter Smith, though. Carter Smith has bumped down a line for sure. Ryan Hopkins had a great spring. Nice to see him there. And I feel better about this. Actually, I'm going to say hold on this because it's about where I kind of thought the room would be.
I think that this is, and Ryan and I have discussed this a little bit. I think his view on it is a little different than mine. This is about what I expected from spring. I knew there would be some growing pains, all the new pieces. I knew you have a quarterback who is, his skill set isn't really something that shows out in an environment like this, where you're trying to, you know, execute the plays according to the book. So that makes for, you know, some limitations in some of what he's good at. So to me, I never felt like we were going to see the best version of this guy until the season. And even then, I think it may take him a few games to kind of get his feet and really start to get, but I do expect him to grow during the season. I do expect him to be good. But yeah, I feel good about the quarterback position in general. I actually think that there's a chance that Hopkins, I think going into fall camp, the number two job is a competition. I think Joseph clearly is the one, but I think Hopkins has earned the you know, enough credibility here that you can give him a shot and say, all right, you two, may the best man win. Because it sounds like he's been, like he has not really had bad practices, so to speak. He's had a couple of freshman moments, but he hasn't been bad. And I agree with you to the point where I think that the right now the guy I'm most comfortable with is probably Deuce. But I think that Hopkins, if he continues to show growth in the fall, has an opportunity to win that job outright.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the real battle for who gets that second spot is only going to materialize if Colton Joseph gets hurt.
True.
Otherwise, it's going to be like, look, Deuce is going to get the second reps. Ryan Hopkins will get reps. It's all fine. He's developing. But if Joseph goes down, then there's going to be a real battle. Okay, who do we actually play at quarterback? And that's going to be interesting for sure. Okay, running back. What's your two deep on running back?
Yeah, for running back, it's Abu Sama. And I think you have a 2A and 2B in Dupree and Jackson there. Nate Palmer coming in, I don't want to say distant fourth, but I would say that there's a little bit of a gap between those three and him. And the top three, I think, is very situational. I think Sama is probably your number one guy, but I think there's going to be games where Dupree plays more, and I think there's going to be games where Jackson plays more.
But you know we're not playing with three. You know, there's going to be two.
There's going to be two guys.
I feel like there's going to be two guys that clearly get more carries than anybody else. I'm not saying Jackson has his part, but I just don't feel like he's really going to be a factor. To me, it's going to be Sama 1, Dupree 2. And I think Dupree might get more carries in some games just because of the situation. I don't think the third guy is going to be. I don't think Jackson's going to factor in too much. It's just in general. We it kind of generally gets two guys. I don't really think you're going to have like a one and then like two. I don't know. That's just my opinion. I feel like Jackson's going to take a back seat this year. But
yeah, you know, it will be interesting. Like he had a really good camp. So yeah. I think he's in there and he's got something that neither of the other two guys have, which is a little bit of wiggle and burst for a guy who's a really big, really big back.
You don't think he's too similar to Sama in some respects?
Jackson?
Yeah.
No. He's much bigger back. He's 240.
Sama's a pretty big back too. Like he's a bruiser.
He's more of a shifty, explosive guy. Whereas is Jackson's kind of like a better version of Ituka from last year, where he's just got that ability to kind of like there's some legitimate size to him to push the pile. Not that Sama can't, but when you have a guy that has that kind of frame. You have something, you have a little bit more to throw at the line in a third and one situation.
Yeah, I know. I agree. I mean, that the size is there, but he's still a 215, 220 pound back, Sama. I mean, like, he's still a big guy, but yeah, nonetheless. I think Dupree definitely carves out a massive role, though, in this team for sure. For me, this room is up, Justin. Stock up on the running back room. I'm feeling really good about it because, as you say, Jackson, the depth of the room is there. The fact that Dupree's still here and playing well, and then you couple that with an experienced back like Sama, I'm stock up on this room for sure.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think this is the first time, man, dating back to, 22, where we probably feel pretty good about the running back room. And even then, like, it was basically Braylon Allen. Like, you guys felt a little differently about it than I did, but it, to me, it was Braylon Allen. So I think that's what you're hoping Sama can be. If he can be a 1,000-yard back, which I think he's capable of being, I think you have a really strong season this year, and I think that he can be that type of back. I feel better than about him being a 1,000-yard back than a guy like Tyree Walker, because I think the skill set's just better. He's more explosive. There'll be more opportunity for him to have games where we can lean on him a little bit.
MB Anderson says, yeah, Sama, Dupree, and Jackson. Interesting. D. Jones is RB1 for LSU 2. I did read about this, and I also read that Allegro is being listed as a starter at Ohio State. Man, it would be nice to have those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I really like Allegro, but would you trade him for John Kamara?
Yes, I would want, like, I'm not getting rid of Posa and Catalano for anybody, but yeah. I want Allegro right there behind him. I absolutely would take him over Heiberger, Kamara, Schaefer. Like, the number three linebacker on this team should be Christian Allegro, and that would be incredible. It's not there, and I get why, but yeah, I love Allegro. I would take him back in a heartbeat.
I really like him as a player. I'm just like, from the skill set standpoint, a guy like Kamara, as good of an athlete as Allegro was, Kamara's like, we haven't had a guy like this since what? Back in the day, who's the back linebacker that played for the Saints? This is a Barry way back in the day. Why can't I think of his name?
Oh, God, no. I don't know.
He was a speedster. He was a burner. Like, yeah, I know. I'm so bad at this. Like, I can picture him. He was a lighter linebacker. He could
put in the chat. We'll help. I'm bad at this stuff too. I'm better.
As usual. As usual. Justin having his, Casillas.
Casillas? Yes. Jonathan Casillas.
That's the type of athlete that I compare him to, where he's a guy who could flat out run and just is explosive. He's bigger than Casillas was. But we haven't really had guys like this that have his type of, like, ability to move in space. We've had really good athletes before, you know, a guy like Chanel. But Chanel wasn't somebody that I felt great about in coverage. It was mostly downhill.
Boy, we got a lot to talk about that room for sure. But let's move on. Keep it going on the offense. Let me get your – so we're going to do two outsides and a slot. So give me your three starting wide receivers and the three backups to those starting.
Can I do, like, a who I think they're going to choose and who I think should be, in my opinion?
Sure. Go ahead. Give it up.
All right. Well, I think number one, the one I pencil in, there's two guys that I pencil in for sure. I think DiMaggio and Henry are going to be the two that are locks.
Okay, so Henry at the slot and DiMaggio at one of the wideds. Okay.
I think that other spot is up for grabs yet. Like, I think you have people that really want this to be the guy who's been here in Brooks, but I don't know how I feel about him, like, this season really being a guy that we can rely on as a receiver. Like, I think he does a lot of the little things well, but at the end of the day, I need that position to catch the football and be able to get open. And those are things that I'm not totally sold on with him. Personally, I think that Brooks is going to be the guy that they maybe go into game one. I do think this is a position where we use a lot of different bodies. If I was going to say who I think is most likely, I would say, or who I think will end up having the stats, it's probably Rigby for me. But there's a lot of bodies in that position that potentially could do. The guys, it's really hard to go too deep on this. The guys who I think are going to be involved most likely are going to be Rigby, Brooks, Henry, DiMaggio. And I think you have a guy like Kearney who gets involved in there. But it's going to be a room where I think there's going to be six guys, and I think they're going to rotate based off of how they feel about the situation.
Yeah, those are pretty much the six guys that I had down as well. Yeah. So my six are, I do have Brooks starting, Brooks and DiMaggio on the outside, and then Henry at the slot. And then Hilton is my number two. And I think Hilton definitely could surpass Brooks. I think what you said about Brooks is spot on. His leadership in spring was noted by many people. Mm-hmm. Many people talked about that. So I think that is going to get him to the one line, and he's going to play because, like, it's his year. It's his time to shine. This is his last year. Like, he's going to come out and get his season. And then I think Hilton supplants him as the starter at some point because Hilton's just better and can get open more. And that's so for me, really, Hilton is the starter along with DiMaggio and Henry. But then Brooks had a backup. I agree. Rigby and Kearney is who I wrote down. Rigby and Kearney as well. Kearney likely out of the slot. I think some people think Malachi Coleman will be up there. I just,
he's going to be situational. I don't see him being in the two deep.
Yeah. It's six deep. I think with you're going to have, you got three positions. You got their backups. I think that's as bad as it were as it goes. And that's where my six are. So Brooks, Hilton, DiMaggio, Rigby, Henry, and Kearney. I think that's probably who ends up playing.
What I will say is, this is the one position where I don't think the two deep matters a whole lot. I think snap counts are what you're going to have to pay attention to, because whoever starts isn't necessarily going to be the one that's on the field the most.
Yeah. Where are you stock report on this room?
I think I'm down a little bit based off of what we wanted to see. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean I don't feel good about the room. I think there's some interesting people, some interesting guys in that room in terms of some potential ability, but I really wish we had a guy or two who had a really strong spring that we felt confident going into the fall.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I'm stocked down on this because I wanted someone to emerge. To be fair, DiMaggio did have a good camp. And Michael Gardner says, surely it's not pronounced like the baseball player.
It actually is.
It actually is. It's a Creole thing.
Multiple people have said that. It's
like a Creole thing. So it's not like, obviously in Louisiana, this would probably pronounce like the go, like the G-A-E-A-U-X. However, in whatever, you know, like area that he's from or whatever, this is kind of like a thing that's it's actually said DiMaggio. That's how his name is said. So yeah, I thought Justin was pulling my leg for a long time, but he was right.
I've seen people comment on that on multiple spots, both on the Discord and I think on 247.
All right. Quick comment from Will Hanna. It's a fair one. If healthy, Jones will show everyone how bad Bucky's O-line was most of last year and prove so many of you wrong with the Jones comments that were made. Listen, I like Jones. I wish Jones was still here. I think Jones is awesome. I think our O-line was bad last year too.
Yeah. I think there was a combination of things that, like, I don't think any of the backs, the vision wasn't there, but they're also the line play was not good.
I'm not sure how much
that was there for them to gain beyond what they got, but he was dinged up the whole season too. So we never really truly got to see what he was. That's a thing for him now. He's got to prove that he could stay healthy.
Yeah. Moving on to tight end. This is a room that I'm up stock, big time stock up on the tight end. I think everyone's big stock up on the tight end room. I think the official depth chart is Harris 1, Schwendeman 2, but I think, or maybe Steck 2. I think it's tight end by committee at this point, just because there are four guys with Harris, Schwendeman, Steck, and Bork that I think are all going to get playing time. They're all going to get snaps. I think Harris is the number one. And then beyond that, it's just kind of like it's a committee beyond that, because there's a lot of talent here. I think whoever's got the hot hand, whoever's blocking well, and depending on what the situational needs are for that position in a particular game, I think this room is really, really solid. Definitely one of the surprises coming out of camp.
Yeah, I view this kind of like the wide receiver position, except on a positive side. I think it's going to be very situational, and I think it's going to be down and distance related with some of this play. I think there's guys they feel better about stretching the field with. I think there's guys that they feel better about being a consistent, like, quick hitter guy, like Harris. Schwendeman, he did some things in camp. He wasn't as heralded as some of the other guys were. I think Steck made the most highlight catches. Bork seemed to have the best all-around camp, and I think that Harris was the guy that people were really high on based on his athleticism at that position. But I don't know how much deep speed he has or ability to stretch the seam. And I think that that's the question that I have with him, where I think some of the other guys like Steck and Bork, I think, might be a little bit better running up the seam.
Michael Gardner says, I'm higher than most on Bork. I think he's the second best tight end we have behind Harris. It would not surprise me. Would not surprise me, Michael, if he emerges as the guy. But I think the one thing we can all agree on, the tight end room is solid. This is really good. And frankly, it was a big question mark I had certainly going into the spring. So the fact that I'm way up, I'm super high on it. And you look across, you know, the skill position players on this offense, and, you know, you have some questions at receiver. Okay. But you don't really have questions at running back. You don't really have questions at quarterback. You don't really have questions at tight end. Pretty mm-hmm. solid. Let's go to the trenches. Talk about O-line. I'll lead off with this one. So here is my two deep, and then I want you to tell me if you would disagree with any of this, Justin. So from left to right, Wilkins, Cubberly, Kowecki, Mandel, Haywood. That's clearly been the number one line this entire time. So Haywood's moved to the right, which, okay, that's fine. And listen, I Haywood's great. So wherever Haywood's going to be great, that's fine. And then the second line, I have Simmons, Blackman, Corey at center, Cherry at the right guard. And then I actually have Mandel penciled at right tackle because it's to illustrate my point that we don't really have. I mean, is Barrett Nelson again, or is it Davenport? Whatever. We don't really have another tackle. So I think if something happens to Haywood, let's just say for discussion, I think Mandel kicks out and then Cherry moves up into the guard. Because Cherry's kind of your swing guard, Simmons your swing tackle. If Simmons will be the first tackle that comes in, and then Cherry be the first guard, seemingly to me, Blackman maybe. But then it's that second tackle if you need someone. That's where I think Mandel probably kicks back out. What do you differ on from what I just
said? Yeah, I think that, like, that's how I feel. Like, if it's left tackle, it's probably Simmons. If it's right tackle, it might be Mandel kicking out. Yeah. I think it's really interesting. The one position on this two deep that I don't feel overly great about is probably Corey at center. The lack of consistency there is scaring me a little bit for a guy who's entering his third year. Really needs to get the snapping down. It doesn't sound like he's poor in terms of blocking, but the snapping cannot afford to have a season where that's an issue. Wisconsin just needs some things to go right. And I would really be happy if he can get it figured out and can be a good depth piece there, because I actually, for this position group, I'm actually up, because where we were coming from, which was terrible last year, I do feel like there's growth that has happened with this group, which leads me to believe that I feel like the starting offensive line is going to be solid, which is what I wanted to come out of spring camp as. And it feels like we have some backup pieces that they like. It feels like they like Simmons. It feels like they really like Cherry and Blackman. And I think that Roski is a guy that they want to see continue to get the reps. Corey, I think, is somebody who you're hoping, you know, in fall camp shows some strides.
Yeah, man. I'm not with you on the up. I'm going to say hold on the O-line. And I agree with pretty much everything you said there. I haven't heard it, but I heard there's a good interview with Mateos on a podcast potentially that he talked about snapping, and he talked about how he's going to fix it. And he explained the mechanics of it. I think he's going to work with Corey and get that settled. I think that Mr. October, Mateos, got to get the snaps fixed once and for all. I think he will. And I think that's good. Michael Garner says, I think Corey might end up at guard before too long if the snapping doesn't improve. And then Blackman may end up at backup center, says MB Anderson, which I also agree with. I think Styles Blackman impressed people.
Powell's the third string center.
Yeah. Badge Borma says, sorry about Wrexham today, Justin. Kevin, do not bring up my relegation battle. I'm going to watch for your chat. I'm going to ban you out of this chat if you bring it up. Anyway, just kidding, man. Listen, MB Anderson's O-line will cook. I've said it, I'm not going to say it anymore. Depth is a problem. Let's just hope no one gets hurt and we'll be fine. And I think we'll be okay. Let's switch over to the defense, Justin. Let's talk D-line. I'll let you lead off this. Give me your two interior line guys starting and their backups.
Yeah, it sounds like Perkins and Hammond Russell are the two that people have earmarked right now. I think Poyser is going to be a guy that's going to be basically your third starter. Like, they feel really good about him. And then there's a lot of bodies there that they feel pretty good about. I think this is where Dylan Johnson gets his opportunity here. I'm trying to think of some of the other boys that we have in that group there that people were talking about. Anderson is obviously somebody who's played a ton of snaps that they feel good about, but he's somebody they also felt struggled a little bit with the consistency required at this level for the physicality. I think you get him, you know, summer weight training hopefully helps him a little bit to continue to build himself up. Nolan Vils is probably the guy who I'd put as the final guy in the two deep with those four, because he had a really good camp. And I feel like I think Whitlow feels strongly that he can be consistent enough. And they just have a ton of bodies that they can throw at it right now in that group. I would love to hear that Xavier Akponwu takes a step going into the fall and can get his name kind of in there. He's somebody who I feel like flashed a little bit. For a room that had a lot of bodies, we did hear his name here and there, even though it wasn't something that was over the top. For when I look at it as a true freshman, a redshirt freshman guy, I want to see your name kind of show up, even if it's not consistent, because that means you're making plays here and there. That's what I expect to see from him, and that's kind of what we're getting.
Yeah, the room is pretty loaded, so I don't expect to really see Akponwu this year, but that's fair. Like, so I agree with you for the most part. Perkins and Russell clearly have come out and have been the starters there. Poyser, I wrote down Poyser and DJ Dylan Johnson actually as my next two, then Vils and Anderson as the guys that are going to play in there as well. Six guys, basically. The six I wrote down: Perkins, Russell, Poyser, Dylan, Vils, and Anderson. Those are the six that I feel like are going to play. I think you possibly could get an Akponwu, maybe. I know that we asked Nick last week what freshman could see the field. He thinks Jiju Bah might see the field. Who knows?
Shocks me given that how light he was. Like, what did he come in at? 280?
280.
That's pretty.
That's not that light. I mean, for an incoming D lineman, like he can.
Unless he is really explosive, which he was somebody who had some juice. But I worry about a guy like that if he gets stalemated. When you have somebody that's leaning on you at 310 and you're 280, that 30 pounds makes a difference. So he's got to get by people, otherwise. I'm not saying I don't think long term that he's going to turn into somebody. I just don't know. Does he have the grown man strength yet? Because at 280, you better be, strong as hell playing on the inside.
That's fair. For me, this room is stock up for sure. This, along with tight end, were areas I was concerned with coming into spring and I'm feeling really, really good about coming out of spring. That's rare. Spring doesn't do that, Joe. They're not like, oh, my God, I feel so much better. Well, this is one I feel better about as I feel better about that as well. So I'm way stock up on this.
Badger Bournemouth, what about the guy from App State, Denigel Cooper? My gut instinct on him is he's going to be a pass rush guy on the interior, like when we get third and long, because he's only like 260.
265, so,
yeah. He's going to have some burst and be in there in situations where maybe you want somebody who can kind of shoot a gap and potentially get into the backfield. I have a hard time seeing him in down and distance on first and second down ever.
Yeah. Agree. Yeah. When you have a guy that's 260, 265, they're not your interior linemen. You got to have Perkins is 323, Russell's 312, Poyser's 310.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's, but we learned our lesson there and we've corrected that. So that's that. Okay. Let's go to pass rush. Justin, I'll start here. So Cheeks clear to me, he was like the MVP of the spring. I feel like he was in an unbelievable spring. A lot of talk about him. So Cheeks definitely a starting pass rusher. And I think Fearbree is the other one. But again, I think this is one of those where you're going to hear a lot of names. So I also have Clayton and Boone, who I think are going to get a lot of play. And then sort of my tertiary side is going to be the Williams and the Liam Denitzes of the world. Six guys I think are going to be your primary pass rushers. But I think this is Cheeks' year to have his moment and to make his run for the NFL. I think Clayton could absolutely be the starter on the other side. You could definitely see a combination of Cheeks and Clayton. Maybe it's Boone, maybe it is Fearbree, but those to me are the six guys who are going to play. But I think Cheeks is the number one in that group. I expect him to have a really good season.
Yeah, I hate to keep leaning on the situational, but I think that's going to play a massive part in this. I think Boone is going to be the guy who they in like base sets is likely to be out there as a big edge. You get second and long, you're probably putting Clayton in because the guy's just a monster off the edge. And if it's an obvious passing down, he's probably going to be the guy you want in there over some of the other guys. Williams is a guy who I think will get reps. We'll see how much. I don't know that I still, until I know that he's not going to be a head case, I really worry about him as possibly getting out there. Because
it was like one game, I feel
there
like.
Two times, it should be zero. Listen, okay, how do you get a 15-yard penalty before the game even started?
Listen, I hear you. You've brought that up a couple times, and I think your point is very fair. I think you're overplaying it a little bit. Like, I think he's going to be – I think that talking to probably happened, and I don't think it's going to be an issue this year. Like, what about his talent, though? Like, forget – if that piece was corrected, where do you put him on the line?
It's hard for me without having us actually been able to witness practice.
Fair.
I have seen the burst that Clayton has firsthand. I think Fearbury moves well too for a longer guy. Like he's like 6'6" and can move pretty well. Clayton is a different animal to me. And when I heard that Mitchell said that he actually felt like Clayton had more burst than Cheeks, that to me was pretty telling, because there were a couple of plays last year when Cheeks came screaming off the edge where it's like, oh my God, did the guy even get a hand on him? He was in the backfield so quick. That part, I don't know how much Fearbury can do. I know he's quick and he'll be able to beat his man. I don't think he's in the same ballpark as Cheeks and Clayton in that regard. But I do have some concerns about if a tackle gets their hands on Clayton still, will he be able to hold up? He's got a lot of new muscle, and it's not like he's – I'd wonder how well he's grown into that body at this point.
Sure. Some people agreeing with you. Tyler Streber says he was acting like that in the Middle Tennessee game too. I was there. I can't stand the kid's mentality to trash talk like an idiot. MB Anderson, I'm in the same boat on Fearbury, but the reports had him being a standout supposedly. Mitchell did say Clayton was their best rusher. This is a fascinating room. First of all, for me, this is a hold. I'm stock hold on this one because I'm confident that we're going to have a really good pass rushing room for the most part. But I think it's interesting to see if, like, I kind of think Clayton has to emerge as one of the guys if we're going to have a really good pass rush, if that makes any sense. Like, I think Fearbury's a starter, but I don't think Fearbury's like that great. So I feel like if Clayton comes out and is like the guy that we expect Clayton to be, and you couple that with Cheeks, and you've got pass rushing inside linebackers like Posa, we could really get some high sack numbers on this team. But I want Clayton to climb up that depth chart. I expect that to happen. I hope he does.
So I actually feel a little bit better about this because I didn't expect the depth that we have. But what I will say, I don't think any of them have to be dominant. I don't think Clayton even has to be. Some of the things that they were doing in camp, I think, are going to be conducive to them getting sacks. They were moving Posa all over the place. They were doing that with John Kamara, and they're doing it with Tommy Heiberger. Those guys are all really good athletes who are capable of blowing by somebody. So if you put them in situations where an offensive line is kind of in flux and doesn't know who to block, all of those guys are capable of just coming downhill and absolutely crushing the quarterback. And quarterbacks are not outrunning those guys. Like, I don't care. Even if you're athletic, they're really going to struggle to get away from those three guys.
I mean, I feel like Mike Tressel's going to have some fun next season. Like, this I feel like you're right. You're
I so said right coming about in that this might be the most athletic defense that we've had dating back to Barry days. And I kind of stand by that because I can't remember this much, like, linebacker athleticism. Like, we had some really productive guys that didn't necessarily have the measurables in the way that this group does.
Yeah, agreed. MB Anderson, it'd be interesting to see if any of them take jumps like Peterson and Barton. Nobody expected them to be as good as they were. I certainly didn't. Good
point
here. I think
Cheeks will for sure.
So yeah, like who do you think takes like the biggest jump on the defensive line in general? I guess at the entire defensive front, like who do you think takes that big jump that maybe we're not expecting?
The guys that were here, or the guys are just like who do I think is going to be?
No, I feel like the guys that were here maybe.
Okay. I think Cheeks, I wouldn't be shocked to see him get like 7 sacks this year. I legitimately think that he's going to take a step. It's just, he's now, 2.5 years fully in on playing the edge. I feel good about that in terms of his ability to be able to turn that into production. It's kind of like Zach Bond when they finally got him out there. And then the guys that have been here, I think Clayton and Williams are two guys that I think turn into, they're going to be better than what we expected. And I think that that's going to be because there's going to be people that never heard of Clayton and will be shocked that he's doing things. To me, Williams is, I question if he can be capable of pushing Justice Boone a little bit because he's a better athlete. And with that frame, if he's strong enough to be able to hold, that's the type of athlete I want in that spot.
Well, let me tell you, if you've listened to our show, you know who Clayton is because Justin talks about him all the time. I agree. I think for me, as far as like a jump guy, I think Williams, you mentioned him. I think Williams could surprise all of us. And again, take one of those big starting jobs, like take to become one of the highest snap count pass rushers, right? Maybe it's just not the starting spot, as you say, situationally. We also forgot to talk about a guy like Garner, who's a 300-pound end, who on running downs, like he's going to be in there to set that edge too. Mm-hmm. So like there's a lot of versatility
over that spot.
Yeah, a lot of versatility on that defensive front, which is awesome to see. Moving back a little bit to probably the strongest position for our team, inside linebacker, I'm stock up always on this position because I don't know how you can't be stock up on it because the room is as solid as we thought it was. Posa and Catalano, clear as day starters. I think, again, you've got Heiberger, Schaefer, Kamara. Those are probably Kamara and Heiberger are going to be the names that I feel like you're going to hear outside of Posa and Catalano. But Aaron Witt moved to this room as well. So he's a guy that's going to get some play. And I think Schaefer will also get a little bit. But I feel like those four guys, Posa, Catalano, Heiberger, Kamara, those are your four guys that you're going to hear the most of on the inside.
Yeah, this room is the most interesting because Posa and Catalano are barely going to come off the field. And I feel like there's going to be some times that we go three middle linebackers where you have somebody who's going to be just kind of a wild card out there in either Heiberger or John Kamara, where it gets really interesting because I think they like some of the things that they can do, kind of moving a guy around there that's that type of athlete, that they're going to get those guys some playing time. It's kind of like what they were planning on doing with Allegro, but I think basically that position kind of fell by default to Heiberger and now Kamara doing some of the similar things. But I think the difference is who's going to be the one that's allowed to freelance. I would guess it's Posa because I think that they love his instincts in terms of his ability to just kind of do things. He's the guy that's going to get all the sacks. Like I will be shocked if you think about it, looking back at last year, he started what, four games, he had four sacks. Like he very well could be a double digit sack guy this year.
We're obviously going to do a show like this in the summer, but do you think Posa leads the team in sacks? Is that what you're thinking?
I do. Mostly because I think he's got the instincts, the athleticism. And I think that situationally he's going to be a guy that's allowed to get away with doing some things where some of the other guys are going to be more pressed into, you need to make sure that you have you're locked into what you're supposed to be doing on a play. He doesn't have to set the edge as much as the other guys do.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I think there was a question in there about who the defensive MVP would be. It's Posa for me. Posa is, man, like the first. Yeah. I mean, listen, the first time
having 150 sacks this year.
Yeah. The first time that we saw the first time that we saw Mason Posa's film, we were like, holy crap, this guy looks incredible. And he was, and it's no surprise that he came in as a freshman. He was certainly the player that I liked the most out of that class. And then he was made a such an impact, like an incredible impact. The entire quality of our defense, everything elevated when that guy and Catalano stepped on the field. Just incredible difference making. But yeah, Cooper Catalano definitely could get 150 tackles. That wouldn't surprise me. But yeah, I think Posa is the MVP of this offense. I think he is first team All Big Ten. I think he's getting some all America shouts, hopefully. But he is one of the best linebackers out there, and you saw it early on. That's the speed and the instinct. Like you just the man plays with such an instinct. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't miss things because he's like, oh yeah, I'm going to take the perfect angle to make sure that when you make that cut and you come around here, I'm going to get you. It's incredible. It's by far the best room on our team, I think. But I'm up on it because of the depth, because of Heiberger, Kamara, absolutely, as you mentioned.
I will say this too. We take for granted the fact that Catalano and Posa really haven't fully developed physically. Mm-hmm. Like Posa looks like he put on significant weight compared to last year. He's far better set up to be able to be more durable this year and just being stronger and being able to go hand to hand with guys, because he's put on probably what, 20, 25 pounds. I think he came in at like 210 or something like that. Wasn't he? He was pretty light.
Was he?
When he came in, he was like 210. I think they got him up closer to like 220 by the time the season started.
Maybe. He's listed at 231 right now. Yeah. But
so he's definitely putting in.
It is crazy to think about that, though, that room in general. Like, I mean, if Allegro legitimately does start at Ohio State, which it looks like he may. I mean, there is an injury or something that's affecting that. I'm not sure, but we'll talk to the Ohio State guys. But Mason Posa absolutely starts over Christian Allegro, and it's not close. Mm-hmm. And that's the quality of our room, right? Like, that's how good these middle linebackers are, which I think is really interesting, for sure. Okay, let's move on to the defensive backfield to round out our positional stock up, stock down, and our two deep cornerbacks. Give me your ones and twos here for cornerbacks.
Yeah, my ones are going to be Javon Robinson and Jahmyr Scott. Mm-hmm. My twos are going to be obviously Fletcher and Kai Bates. Mm-hmm. And the slots are going to be Bryce West and Raphael Dunn as the backup.
Yeah.
Shout out to Raphael Dunn, by the way. Getting his name or getting involved in here. Like I thought he was going to potentially be a forgotten man, and here he had a really good camp.
Yeah, I totally agree. I completely agree with you that Dunn is a guy to kind of watch out for. So Jahmyr Scott, one of the bigger surprises, I think, of camp, right? Like, I don't think pre camp we would have said that Jahmyr Scott was going to be a starting quarterback. I still think that Fletcher, Bates are going to challenge it potentially. Like I could see Robinson's the nail on starter. Okay. That's it. Like he's the starter. I agree with you for the most part. I think Scott will be the starter, but I think you could have Bates and you could have Fletcher, any of those three. So basically the key point here and why I like this room so much and why I'm up on this room is because iron sharpens iron. The room is deep. This is the first time in a while that we've had a deep cornerback room to where we're like, yeah, we're good. If Fletcher starts, I'm fine. If Scott starts, I'm fine. If Bates starts, I'm fine. And I think that's really good to see, because you know that you're going to get elevated play out of your number one guy because he's being pushed from behind quite a bit by these number two guys who are capable themselves. And then you get the slot with West, obviously. Like there is a lot of talent here. There's a lot of speed, a lot of physicality, which is one thing that that Tressel brought up. Was the physicality of these guys. That's really nice to see as well. The whole team is physical. We just got done talking about the defensive front, right? That whole front seven, how physical those guys are going to be and how fast they're going to be. Now you couple that with a backfield that has the speed that we have. This cornerback room is special. I agree with you completely there, and I'm up on this room.
Yeah, and I think there's even some young guys who actually have pretty good camps, and guys like Jamari Washington who did some nice things, but he's, you know, fighting around on the third team. Like that's a guy that in another year, you're probably hoping that he's number one. I think he needs to put on a little bit of weight yet. But great athlete, definitely has shown that he's growing, but you give him a little bit of time. It's a really deep room. It's a fairly young room. Like there's going to be opportunity next year for guys to get into the two deep that can add to this a little bit. So I'm looking forward to how they hold on to this. I think there's a lot of opportunity there for guys to get on the field. I think they're going to rotate a fair amount. Will be really interesting to see how they choose to break up those snaps.
Yeah. Tyler Streber, good friend of the show, says, will be refreshing to see some DBs willing to tackle in space. Yes.
With speed.
With
corners with speed. Like, and athleticism.
We've had some real issues with this. So, yeah, this would be very, very nice.
Javon nice Robinson is like a borderline 4-3 guy, like legitimately. And you have other guys there. Bryce West, I think, I know, was a really good athlete. Kai Bates was a really high-end athlete. So you have some guys there that we're not used to having this type of skill set.
Question here, I think, is interesting. My Lord Lester, would Agard have started, Justin?
No. He's undersized. Maybe, like, if you put him against Bryce West, Bryce West just has is just a bigger player, and he's a different pedigree of athlete. It's no shade against Agard. I love the kid. I thought he played his butt off here, but I think that that room is the number one spot in the portal that they brought in some people that I was not expecting. Even Fletcher, he's a legit like 6'1" and a guy who can really run and can be physical. Like, we haven't had guys with that type of ability to run and also like get up and press since, man, I don't even know, because most of the previous old school Badger corners never pressed.
Yeah, listen, I agree with you completely. Agar doesn't start in this room. He would be a player. He would definitely be on the field for this team.
He'd probably be your backup slot,
but he wouldn't start, I don't think. But yeah, very, very good room. Safety, we'll finish it off there. So for me, I think this is pretty clear across the board here. Burks and Young are going to be the starters, and Cairo Skanes and Carson Van Dinter back them up. I am very, very impressed with what I've heard about Matt Young. His leadership, like, he was a guy that middle of last season, man, we were like, please get this guy off the field. And then he just played, and he kept playing, and he kept playing. And he was one of those guys at the end of the season when we had to turn it up a notch. He played a lot better. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he won this job, at least in spring, over guys like Skanes and Van Dinter, that's very impressive to me. Because I thought Van Dinter was going to be a nailed-on starter. So if you have Young out there getting those reps, kudos to Matt Young for keeping his position. So, but I think the safety room is in good position. It's a good spot overall. Feeling basically a hold on this, because I think that's kind of what I expected, but I'm very pleased with where we have it. I think Burks and Young could be really, really good together.
Yeah, I think that a lot of those guys are going to play. I think they're going to go into that two deep and rotate guys there too, because number one, they need to get snaps for some of those guys. And I think that it's a pretty experience. Like, you really like the talent level that's there. Some of those guys have played a little bit. So Cairo Skanes has been out on the field. Obviously, it was at corner last year, but he seems to be doing a pretty good job. And then Van Dinter played a little bit at Iowa State. So you have a guy out there that hopefully you get those guys in there and you develop the type of depth that if you need to switch things up in a situation, you feel good about it. I'm glad to hear that Young has had a really good camp. My concern with him has always been athletically, how does he stack up with the other two guys? Are there going to be situations where you look at him where you're concerned about him athletically? Not that he's a bad athlete, but he's not a burner on the back end.
Agreed. He's a hard worker, but you need that kind of guy at that position, right? I mean,
yeah,
you need to be able to have that. It's a guy that's going to get it done. Tyler Schreiber was asking about your boy Letezu, who you talked a lot about, athletic freak. He's an edge guy, Tyler. He's not in the
safety. He's not a safety. He's a guy who's done some body reshaping, and it's going to take him a bit. He came in at like 260 in high school, was like his last year. And he got here, and he's down in like the 230s. And he's like 6'5", 6'6". So I think realistically they probably want him at 650. I mean, at 250, oh, man, I cannot talk tonight.
650. I don't think so, buddy.
Oh my God. He went 250. He's 6'5". But I think they're going to want him to bulk up a little bit yet. And he's also like, people need to understand, he's somebody that didn't play football until high school. Like, he was a kid who came over. I don't think he's from the United States originally. So for him, he's kind of a baby deer, and he's one of those that's going to he's going to need reps to kind of get experienced. Like, you can be the best athlete in high school and get the opportunity to get out on the field and just dominate because you're a better athlete than everybody else. You can't really do that at the college level unless you're just an absolute freak of nature. And I do think he's a really good athlete, but edge guys that have that ability are like Jadeveon Clowney. Like, that's the type of guy that you turn loose and just say, go hit quarterback. And I don't think he's in that, you know, stratosphere of edge guy.
Very few people are in that stratosphere of edge guy. Quickly on special teams, you know, Sean West, Gavin Lom, those are our specialists. That's what's going to be that. I think Henry's probably your kick returner. Maybe definitely your punt returner, I would say.
Hilton might be have a shot at kick return. Punt returner, yes, I think is Henry.
But yeah, good stuff. real quick again, if you join us late, Rajiv's Corner is coming back this week, premiering on YouTube. So check it out on YouTube on Wednesday. That's going to be my 20 to 25 minute show that I do once a week. Just talking about random thoughts, random stuff like that. Justin, a question up here I wanted to ask about. Listen, I haven't watched any film yet this week, but I know you have. Zach Bartz asked earlier, what's your take on the three new commits from this week? What can you shed some light on?
I haven't watched a lot of Pope. I want to be told I'm wrong on this. My gut instinct is that is a Gideon Atuka is no longer going to be playing at Wisconsin. And that's
I was worried about that too.
It's the only thing that makes sense to me, given that you've gone through camp and you were kind of keeping him around, which, hey, the most important thing is for him to just be healthy and, you know, move on with life and hopefully live a good, healthy life. I would say I really liked, I'm going to butcher this last name, Zaccanino.
Zach, I like the film. Yeah, whatever. Zach, let's call him Zach.
Yeah. He is 6'5", 270. I think he moves well for a guy that's that size. I don't know that he's got like a top end burst, but I think he's also going to be a guy who's going to be like a 3-4 D end. Like, I think they're going to put him in that 290 to 300 pound range. And I think he moves well for that size. I really like Hill. Hill is a guy who shows really good burst on the interior. You know who I thought of when I watched his film at first? Cannon Benton. I don't think he's going to be as good hand fighting as Benton was, because he was so advanced with the wrestling, but I think they're similar athletes. And I think that's where I look at it. And I'm like, man, I kind of really like how this kid moves. Like, there's some opportunity there for him to be really good. DJ Davis, we'll throw him in there too. I like him a lot too. I think he's a guy who's going to have to put on about 20, 25 pounds, but I think he's a really loose, fluid athlete and he runs well. He's got some really nice burst for a kid who's 6'2". And if you can put that on the back end, that's the type of safety we've been kind of chasing after with guys like Dean and Emmerich, where you want somebody that can really move on the back end. I like the type of athletes they're recruiting at that spot.
Yeah, good stuff there. Like I said, I haven't watched the film, so I don't want to comment on it yet, but I will. And listen, we've been saving up some of this recruiting stuff because we wanted to talk about spring now that it's over, but we will. We have basketball recruits we need to talk about. We have football recruits we need to talk about. So we are going to kind of probably maybe even as early as next week kind of circle back through to recruiting. Obviously, OV season is going to be coming. That 27 class is going to get built out pretty quickly here. So we'll definitely,
we'll go grab one more here from
Tosher. Good question here. He says, what's your confidence level in this staff holding on to these 2027 recruits? Makes me nervous when guys commit so early, have to do a lot of defense up until signing day, as we saw last year.
To me, it all depends on what happens on the field. If they keep their jobs, I think they'll be fine with these guys. If this is a season that is kind of like the last couple here where they struggle, which I don't think it's going to be, but if it is, that's where you have to start worrying about guys looking to jump ship because they're worried about the staff not being there next year.
Yeah, Tyler, I totally agree with Justin on this one. And what I was going to kind of say is, like, ultimately, Wisconsin is, as we know, in a bit of a down, bottom of the barrel situation. I think rock bottom's already been hit. These guys, especially the local guys, the guys that are from Wisconsin, would love, in my opinion, to be a part of the Wisconsin resurgence, right? That's powerful. If this coaching staff turns things around this year, we win 7 or 8 games, we have a couple of big wins over big teams, that 27 class is going to be like, holy shit, like, we need to go there and be a part of this because this team is on the upswing now. We're going to return Wisconsin to prominence. And I think you absolutely hold on to those guys, especially those Wisconsin guys, which frankly are some of the better guys in the class. And the Sorgi, who's in Indiana, but he's basically a Wisconsin guy, right? Like the legacy guy. So I think that is 100% the way you keep them, is you need to show that this shit era of Wisconsin football is over and we are on the turnaround. And if that's what happens, it's a hell of a lot easier to keep these guys for sure. Justin, final thoughts on anything we talked about today or anything before we close this show today?
Well, we're about a month out from official visits, or less than a month out now. Mm-hmm. I think the bulk of this class will be done by the end of June. The area that is most concerning to me right now is wide receiver. And that shouldn't surprise me, given that Ari Confessor basically came in and had to rebuild that board under, you know, what he envisioned there. It's really important to me that they get guys in on that first weekend with Sorgi, because I think that's super important to having them visit with the quarterback so they can build that kind of friendship with the person who's supposed to be getting them the ball. That's a big deal to me. Like, I would feel uncomfortable if he comes the first weekend and then like all the wide receivers are on the second and third weekend. And it's like, if he's not going to be there, like, so much of the having this first group is going to be using them as recruiters, the kids who are committed, because at the end of the day, the staff is still going to be people who are coaching, and these are your peers. And for whatever reason, you know how it is. Like, you take somebody a little bit more seriously when they're going through the same thing as you. The coaches are trying to sell you on something. The players that are there are kind of going through the same thing you're going through. So maybe you feel like you kind of are in the same boat as them, so to speak, with what's going on.
Yeah, OV season is coming up. And if you've been with us before during OV season, you know that we'll do a full breakdown of everyone coming. We'll pull up some film. We'll talk through, you know, all the measurables of all these guys. We'll talk through where their other official visits are. I'll do a kind of full breakdown of where they're going next. And we'll help. We're going to help with you guys build out this 27 class, right, for us to all talk about once they actually secure these things. So that stuff is coming up now. May and June, be a lot of recruiting talk. And basketball talk as well. And then, of course, once we hit that mid-June, that's when football preview season is going to really elevate, and we're going to be doing all that stuff. So if you're still listening to us, thank you so much. You're some of the loyal listeners. Hit that like button. Very, very helpful to us. Thank you for doing that. Comment on the show. If you listen to this later, podcast, however you listen to it, let us know what your thoughts are on the 2 Deep. Let us know your thoughts on stock up, stock down. How are you feeling about this team now that we've had a chance to actually see these guys a bit on the field? And as we move into the summer, with that, thanks for joining us. And as always, on Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel at The Bucky Report or The Bucky Report Podcast from wherever you get your content. Until next time, on Wisconsin.